The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4 Wins, K4Wins.com, a fantastic website. If you were on it this past Saturday morning, or even if you were on a little before, you got a nice little long shot. I say a long shot, but some good time money there on the ponies and the Kentucky Derby. It's because Kip Kiefer in my upper left-hand corner knows everything. He's the executive director, for God's sakes, the Birmingham Racecourse, so he knows what's going on. He gave you the winner, Sovereignty, on Saturday. Of course, right below him is Kai Gregory. He's been playing both sides. When I say both sides, he's been getting a gambler, he's been a better, he's done it all. He's been to Vegas a million times. He is the man when it comes down to handicapping ball games and great trends too, and loves my trends. He loves my numbers I can pull out, and I'll have a few more of those going on today. And then, of course, Case Kiefer, our man down there, the cornerstone. He is the man who is the executive director and chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun, so he's right there where we go. We start with what our numbers look like last week. It seems like every week we're 15-9, 21-3. Let me take a stab, 14-7 past week.
21-10 last week.
21-10, okay. Yep.
Month of April, 85-51. We are to 4-12, 2-13-4 overall, including last week, the Derby winner.
Yep.
Like we talked about, three futures in the NHL for the first round, and three futures in the NBA first round. So
nice.
not too shabby.
Let's talk about, first of all, a horse, and then of a future of historic proportions with the Blues in the NHL. And it'll never happen again. First of all, to be down two goals with 2 minutes left, and then to get the second goal, and then, of course, score with 3 seconds left at a game seven, which was historic measures. And Kip Kiefer actually had the Blues in that series. So I'm not even going to fault you for that, because I was on that side as well. But let's start with the Derby, my friend. Down the stretch they came, and they did on the outside, and Sovereignty gets it by just about a half, almost a horse over, of course, journalism, the favorite. But congratulations.
Journalism ran his race. He lived up to the hype, but you know, the problem is people get so engaged in speed figures and horse racing. And it's not just about who the fastest horse is. It's the Derby is a different animal. You can't analyze a lot of the prep races. They don't run that far. They don't run in front of 160,000 people. It's a brand new experience. They don't run with 19 other horses. Journalism had never faced a field larger than six, five other foes. He had 18 against him this time. Journalism did everything, but I knew Sovereignty had the best kick of any of them. They looked him eyeball to eyeball with the favorite in the stretch, and Sovereignty said, later, man. Ran by him, won by a length and a half. I thought it was Bill Mott's time. I stress that on every show, this one and all the other shows I host, and the two or three guest spots I did on other shows last week. It was very gratifying to see that Junior Alvarado, who I mentioned on the starting lineup last Saturday, is probably, in my estimation, right on the same level as Irad Ortiz, Jose Ortiz, and Flavian Pratt. He just doesn't get quite the glamour horses. He does ride regularly for Mott, and Bill Mott is in a tremendous cycle right now. In his 70s, already been in the Hall of Fame for 12 years. This is the best his barn has performed in his entire career, which is a pretty remarkable accomplishment for somebody who's already been recognized as one of the all-time greats.
The Preakness coming up next, of course, the Belmont at the end for the Triple Crown. You mentioned not only on the starting lineup, but also on the show right here in K4Wins.com about how to play this. In fact, you're not a big horse person. You talked about exactas, for example. If you'd taken that 18 horse and boxed it up with three or four of the horses, including journalism. Let's take that right there. What did that pay as an exacta?
Well, I gave out a $12 play on the starting lineup because I figured it would be mostly casual fans. So if you would have played those six combinations, the exacta paid $48. So for a $12 investment, now, of course, you could have bet $10 and gotten a nice return, as I did. So, you know, that the $2 is always kind of the base, but for to the play we gave out on the starting lineup for a simple $2 bet, you would have quadrupled your money.
Yeah, the Blues in the futures, but I do want to go down to Case because I don't know if he was standing in a casino or in a sports book in Vegas in game seven of the Blues and the Pegs. What exactly happened at the end of that ball game? And I just can't imagine what it would have been like to see the orders, if you will, the paper hitting the floor after that goal came up. Of course, the game was not over at that point. It was just 3-3, but you almost had to feel like, okay, we're going overtime. They're going to lose the game. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I was on the Jets for the series, so that was big for me. I mean, not a very big bet, but I did audibly say some choice words when the goal went in with 1.3 seconds left or whatever it was. That was wild. I mean, I know Kip and I have seen this series differently the whole time. To me, the Jets were so much the better team. Their goalie just like turned into a pumpkin. I mean, Hellebuyck could not stop anything. So even though it was crazy and it was a wild way to get there, I feel like the right team won. I mean, the Jets were around their net constantly. They were bombarding them with shots. It just seemed like everything that the Blues put towards the Jets net went in. I will say Hellebuyck looked terrible early again in game seven. And then looked good the rest of the way.
He was good in overtime.
Yeah, they did sustain a really major injury. This is what I'm on the edge of my seat now, hoping to get some push. It'll probably still be another hour or two, but they're already really beat up, as we talked about last week. They lost Josh Morrissey, who I think was the Norris Trophy runner up last year, one of the best defensemen in the league. I mean, if they don't have him, they already are down Mark Scheifele, Velarde, and Nikolai Ehlers are both back now, but both hurt. I mean, that's like four of their top five skaters now are kind of hurt. So it's fascinating. I don't know. I get off into all the things. It was an absolutely insane game. I mean, the NHL playoffs have been just, I know everyone always raves about the NHL playoffs. Sometimes I think it's overboard, but this year they have been just one of the best first rounds I can ever remember in any sport. I mean, that game was actually overshadowing the night before, which is arguably
the Dallas game.
Oh, it was just as crazy. I mean, 2-0 Avalanche, the whole with I don't know how much time was left there. Probably still
6-7 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometime in the third period. And Mikko Rantanen has a 3-point game who the
Avalanche Colorado traded away.
Traded earlier in the year. So I don't know. The NHL playoffs have been unbelievable. The Stars now seem like they're kind of on the opposite trajectory of the Jets. They got through that series without their best defenseman, Miro Heiskanen, and their best the forward in Jason Robertson. It seems like both those guys are trending towards coming back. So as much as I think that should be a great series on paper, if Hellebuyck can be Hellebuyck, the injury situation, really, you got to take a step back and monitor, see what's going to happen today news-wise, because the Jets really need some of those guys to, I think, have a chance.
Series prices right now, Stars minus $1.75, the Jets plus $1.55. You get the Hurricanes and Caps, Oilers, Golden Nuggets, and, of course, also the Golden Knights, I say, not the Golden Nuggets and the Panthers and the Maple Leafs. I was getting my basketball.
The Nuggets were golden last night.
That would be something else. Yeah, the Nuggets got it done last night too, because I wanted to transfer and talk to Kai about some NBA before we give out some plays, because a lot of it's going to be some future stuff. But of course, we had the Celtics, we had those Cavs, and we had those Thunder.
Unbelievable.
Everyone talking about how much these teams were favored in a lot of futures. You couldn't even get a number on. It was minus 2, 2.5 games, and all those teams down now 1-0. What the hell happened?
Well, I mean, depends on which game. I mean, you couldn't shoot worse than Boston did, which has never been done, missing 45 threes. That's probably never going to happen again.
15 of 60 they were. Isn't that crazy? And they only lost by three.
All I know is Jalen freaking Brunson.
Yep.
Holy cow, in the fourth quarter, just took over.
He's unbelievable. What's crazy is
I had Boston over 111 team total. Never thought they'd
end of regulation too, which should have gone ahead.
They've got 100 points going into overtime. They scored five.
Yeah.
In 5 minutes. What in the world? OKC, young team. I expect them to bounce back very strong in the next game. I know a lot of people are like, hey, Denver can win this series. Denver can win this series. And I'm not saying they can't win, but I really think SGA is going to be good and pissed off after last night. I expect him to bounce back one of his huge games in game two. And I still like OKC in six.
All right. So, and you're obviously the prices you're getting, if you were thinking you were going to go with the Knicks or the Nuggets or the Pacers, you're obviously going to hope that they lose that first game because you're going to get a better price if it's even possible, because you had them plus 2.5 games. Now, of course, you're looking pretty good if you got them plus 2.5, but is there any value there at taking a team that's up 1-0 right now, getting a $1.90 when they were such a huge dog going in, Case?
Not in my opinion. I'd actually look the opposite way. I mean, last year at this time, the Celtics thing, I think Kai nailed part of it to me. I mean, I think they lost game one to the Cavs last year in the second round, and everyone was freaking out. Oh, these teams are chokers. They can never do it in the playoffs. They can't hit shots. I mean, this is just they play such a high variance style, throwing up 63s. Like, it's just statistics. Like, you're going to have a night where you miss a whole bunch. Like you said, they still barely lost last year. I haven't, you know,
no, they shot 25%. They shot 25%. They just put the ball up 60 times.
It's still early here, so I haven't dug through the futures. But last year when this happened against the Cavaliers, I thought it's a little bit different this year. As last year, I thought the Celtics were just so far, by far the best team. I was betting on them futures wise all year because there's so much skepticism around them. So when they lost to the Cavs, I went and dug through the futures and doubled down, or not doubled down really, it's several bets, but I just bet more on them to win the series, more to win the Eastern Conference. I just thought no way they were going to lose. That would be a script I'd look towards again today. I'm probably going to dig through the future, see if I can get on them. I did take the Knicks plus 2.5 in the series. I expected them to win a game or two. I just thought price-wise, we probably talked about this Friday, but I mean, all year when they played at Boston, the two times, I think they were like 7, 7.5 point underdogs. And they were mostly healthy. This one, it went up to 9. I think I gave it out on the show. I played plus 9. I thought it was going to be a somewhat competitive series. I think the Knicks talent wise don't match up all that bad with them. So I do have that Knicks plus 2.5 now, and I might supplement it today. We'll see if I can find some good Boston future prices, because I still think Boston's the side here. I mean, Oklahoma City dominated almost every minute of that game and just somehow collapsed to the best player in the world. I'd be even more shocked if I don't want to say no chance like Kai, but I still think that the Thunder are like 98% in this series. They're such a big favorite, though. It's hard for me to think you'll even find value there, but maybe dig through there. How much things change in 3 days? Because I remember Friday saying, and I did bet the Cavs minus 2.5 games. That's not looking good now. But if there's one team I'd worried about, it would be them. Tonight's going to be telling, but you look at the injury report. I mean, they have Darius Garland. It was a surprise scratch in their first game. I mean, that's their second leading scorer, 24 points per game, their second most important guard. Then Evan Mobley, the defensive player of the year. DeAndre Hunter, I think the third place finisher and sixth man of the year. They both go down. And yesterday, Kenny Atkinson, shout out to Kenny Atkinson, by the way, coach of the year, 30-1. That was a big catch for me yesterday. Nice. He was adamant yesterday that we're not just messing around putting these guys on the injury report. There's real concern they might not play. There's real concern they might be hurt. It's always kind of hard to read the coach speak. Even one time it slipped out of his mouth that two of the guys are doubtful to play tonight. Again, I don't know how true that is, but we need to watch now and see how hurt these guys are. Because if two or three take to, especially Mobley, I think Mobley is, you could make an argument, their most important player. I know Mitchell's a little more flashy, but I think Mobley, again, defensive player of the year. If he's like severely hurt and he was limping bad at the end of that game, and you pair that with a Hunter or Garland injury that's serious and lingering, I will all of a sudden think Indiana has a real chance in the series to at least push it far. So that's going to be really intriguing to watch tonight. But I still... If you've read or listened to me all year, you won't be surprised, because I'm probably biased and maybe too far on them. But I have very little concern for Boston and Oklahoma City overall in the series.
Cavs get up 8.5 tonight.
Keep in mind, the Pacers are not a bad team.
They can score like crazy. You know,
and they can score against anybody. And Halliburton looked incredible the other night. I thought one of his really good games, especially playoff games for him. From point guard, just like I think, skipping forward, the Houston Golden State series, I think the key matchup is going to be how Rudy Gobert plays. If Gobert comes out, and I know you got Anthony Edwards and all this different stuff, but Gobert, if he comes out and plays the way he's capable of, with the lack of height, you know, let's be honest, the Golden State has, he could come in and go 20-12 every game and that be the difference, just like it should have been for Houston, but they were too stupid to keep going inside.
Yeah.
And is Minnesota being undervalued in this series? I for one was very impressed how they steamrolled the Lakers. It seems to me like Golden State gets all the love, and I think Minnesota, somebody better pay attention to them.
I know Tony has something to say, but just to jump in since it's worth me, I totally agree. I think it was Kai that said Friday that if he was Minnesota, you'd rather play Golden State than Houston, and he'd like Minnesota in the series. I totally agreed. I thought I'd be betting Minnesota here. I made it like -130. The prices come out and they're like a -170, -175 favorite. All year, this would have been a shorter price. So I came in thinking I'd be on Minnesota, and I actually ended up betting Golden State +155. I mean, it was such a great matchup against the Lakers. Now we're just pricing this team like they were last year's playoff team. Obviously, Karl Anthony Towns out there. I feel like it's the inverse, actually. I think the perception of Minnesota to me now is just way too through the roof. I still think it's more likely than not they win the series, but I think it's closer to a coin flip. So I took a plus price with the Warriors.
This morning I got the Wolves -200 and the Warriors +170. Of course, game wise, 6.5 and 210.5. I was really surprised by that number as well, but at least, you know, that's a number you can play. I mean, I don't like to give up the games. The 2.5 games is one of those things where, you know, just one game is going to make or break, you know, whether you're going to make your bet or not. All right, before we get away from the NBA and get back in the NHL a little bit, because we do have three series that have not started yet. And of course, a lot of the NBA series has gotten underway with exception of the Warriors and Timberwolves. Any other thoughts between you guys on how you feel about any particular games or whatever? Because obviously we're doing the show on a Tuesday. We do only have the Warriors and the Timberwolves game up for grabs tonight, but anything else that you guys are looking at from a future standpoint? Or are we still going with
what's the total in that game tonight? Because I the way Golden State played defense against Houston, I really think with the inside presence from Minnesota, that thing's I like it to go under. I don't even know if total is
210.5.
Still like it to go under,
And the Cavs, got the bigger nut at 2:30 later on tonight. Yeah, I've got to be honest with you. I've had a really difficult time. I'm an over under kind of guy, and I've had a difficult time. I've hit the last couple, but the over unders have been sporadic at best, and some of them are off 20 or 30 points too. This has been very, very difficult. Any other games you guys like? I mean, we're just assuming the Knicks and the Nuggets or the Knicks and the Thunder and the Cavs are going to win their series, but it's just going to be more of a fight than we thought. Is that what we're going with?
I mean, yeah, Thunder and Celtics, like I said, for sure tonight. Nothing huge for me. I wanted to bet the Cavs in this game. I thought it was a great spot. I made it 9.5 and opened 9.5. Just when I got the injury update yesterday, I had to take a little nibble on the Pacers +9.5. I will not like that again if all three of those guys play and are fine. But I did bet the Pacers +9.5, a little bit different number. And I bet this very small, even less than a typical bet for me. But I am opposite tonight on Golden State, Minnesota. I bet over 208.5. It's now 210. So it's closer to what I made. I made like 212. Again, maybe I'm wrong. I just feel like the Timberwolves, and I like this team. I was all over them last year. I had them to go to the finals. It hurt when they lost in the Western Conference Finals. But I just feel like the perception of them has shifted so much for beating up on a Lakers team that they matched up really well with. The total in this matchup during the year was around like 217, 218. The Timberwolves, I think, would have been like a 3.5, 4-point favorite on home court. Now they're like 6, 6.5, 7. The total is like 8 points lower. So this is a tough spot for the Warriors coming off of game 7, but I just numbers wise had to fade both those. So I took a little bit of Golden State +7 and even littler bit of over 208.5.
As opposed to doing entire season futures, which we do here. And as you just mentioned, coach of the year, Case is all over futures and is just fantastic at it. I know a lot of people don't like to put money up early because they're not going to get it as quickly as they would if they just played a game. But, and these are great. I love this, the serious futures. Kip, let's go to you. We got some NHL going off here with the Hurricanes, Caps, Oilers, and Golden Knights, and of course the Stars and the Jets. Those three series, do you have any prices on this series that you like to play a little bit? We got the Hurricanes -185, Oilers and Golden Knights -110, the Stars +75, with the Jets +55. Do you have any series price you like there?
Well, you know, I know Case is kind of high on the Hurricanes, and certainly personnel wise, they are on paper superior to the Capitals, but the Capitals have home ice advantage here. They have a streaky goalie that we know well because he was with the Golden Knights for a long time, Logan Thompson, who can be spectacular or can be a little loose at times. But I think the Capitals are a live underdog in this series because I just don't, down the stretch, I just don't think the Hurricanes have played up to their potential in terms of their personnel. They're just something just missing to me for this team, and I may be totally wrong. The series might be a one-sided affair, but I think the Capitals are live. And the other intriguing series is in Las Vegas starting tonight. The Golden Knights and Edmonton have been kind of annual rivals in the playoffs on the road to winning the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. The Oilers were the darling of the league, the overwhelming favorite to win it all, and the Golden Knights eliminated them. The Golden Knights play a very, you know, good style against Edmonton that emphasizes the defense and trying to keep them from diving to the net down the middle and trying to keep them to the outside. They're certainly familiar foes. They split the season series 2-2, but they only played once after December. They played on April 1st. Edmonton won that game in Vegas 3-2, but really a tight series of teams that are real familiar with each other. And Edmonton's Achilles heel, despite having all of their superstars, I don't think their goaltending is very solid with Skinner and Pickard. I don't think either one of those guys are prime time, you know, step it up goaltenders in the playoffs. Although Skinner did have a good run last year and took them all the way to the finals. Connor McDavid is the best player in the world. That's a big factor, but Vegas just survived a Kaprizov in the Minnesota series, who's a young guy who has a skill set in that same range. So I don't know. I like Vegas to win the series. I might be a little biased, but I just think their style. I think the Edmonton defense and goaltending is a little shaky historically, and I think if we get the Eichel and Hurdle to step it back up for Las Vegas. They didn't have great series point-wise or goal-wise against Minnesota. I think if those guys show back up, I think Vegas has a real good chance to win this series.
The head of the heart, Case, where are you going with Las Vegas?
I'm just a lowly writer. I don't care if they win or lose for the record. But the head or heart is actually good because head-wise, you know, I'm always a numbers guy. I always like to crunch the metrics for the whole year. And I think if you do that, I said this Friday, so I feel like I'm repeating myself. It's hard not to come out with the Golden Knights as a little bit of a favorite, but I just feel like there has to be some adjustment. When, I mean, the Oilers have the two best players in the world. And when they turn it on, like they did at the end of the series, it just looks like they're playing a different sport than everyone else. I mean, you don't have to like hockey. You don't have to watch much just to watch. When Dreisaitl and McDavid are on the ice, how much of a difference they make. So I do think you can adjust a little bit for how the Oilers are playing right now. And for me, that makes me ever so slightly, again, I think this is about a coin flip, but I do think the Oilers probably just with their top end talent. I mean, I wrote about this today, if you want to read more on LasVegasSun.com, but the Golden Knights are now talking up the Oilers depth and like, oh, they're a lot deeper than they were before, that they could beat us up and down the lineup. That is just total nonsense. This comes down to, do the superstars win or does the team that has a whole bunch of really good players win? It's depth versus top level talent. In the playoffs, I just ever so slightly lean that top level talent. So maybe just barely the Oilers. I will say that Kip's right. Their defense, I mean, their best defenseman's still out. Their goaltending, actually, they swapped. I think they're going to go with Pickard tonight. To me, if they go with Skinner, it's a way better option. I would be looking to bet Edmonton more if they go back to Skinner. They started him in the first two games of the Kings series. He got blown up. They benched him for Pickard. I thought it was a terrible decision. Skinner is a way better goalie, but hey, it worked out for him. Pickard has stopped it all. A former Golden Knight, Calvin Pickard, by the way, he was their backup goalie in year one. They announced a design his mask contest and then cut him before the first game. So there's an interesting nugget for that. But I just think he's not a good goalie, and you can get swayed by these first four games, but he's a, you know, career journeyman backup. So I don't think they're going to switch back to Skinner, but I think their win probability increases dramatically if they go back to Skinner, even though he's been shaky in the playoffs, hasn't been very good. So Yeah, lean Edmonton there. I think on Friday I gave out Toronto in the series. We obviously got off to a good start, but their goalie got hurt. Anthony Stolarz, they almost blew it. Another crazy NHL playoff game. They gave up four goalies in the third period with Joseph Woll having to come in. And there were reports last night that Stolarz was vomiting on the bench from a head injury and had to get stretchered out of the arena.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I might be looking to buy back some on Florida if he's going to be out an extended period, because Woll's pretty good too. He's good for backup goalie standards, but Stolarz was amazing. And we've seen these backup goalies come in and never back down, but people forget Aiden Hill was the third goalie
string
on the Golden Knights depth chart 2 years ago when they won the Stanley Cup. Laurent Brossoit gets hurt after Logan Thompson was already hurt early in the Oilers series. Aiden Hill comes in and never looks back. So I'll give Woll a chance, but man, I'd love Toronto in the series right now if Stolarz was healthy, but a little worried about that one. Tonight, I didn't bet the game, surprisingly, given my conviction on how much I like it, but it just moves so much that hurts. I just think Carolina is so much better than Washington. Carolina did not look great towards the end of the season, but I think a lot of these teams mail it in at the end of the season. I mean, you saw Florida look terrible too, and look what they did to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, could Carolina just control? This is another thing you don't have to know hockey to watch. Just watch tonight with Carolina and Washington. Carolina's going to have the puck like 80% of the time. They just have the best puck handling I think I've ever seen. Washington is going to have to cash in on such few chances to beat them. Logan Thompson has been absolutely incredible. Somehow, I mean, way better than even was with the Golden Knights. So maybe they could steal this with, solid goaltending and shooting an extremely high percentage, what they've done all year. But, you know, in hockey analytics circles, that's known as just the ultimate. For lack of a better word, as my brother Clay would say, cheese. Just something that doesn't hold over time. The Capitals all year
total cheese,
shooting barely any shots and cashing in on them, and their goalie stopping everything. I really think it's going to run out at some point, and against a Carolina team that I think is an absolute wagon that has three great lines. I feel like it's going to be this game, but I did not bet game one, so I would hold off tonight. But and I bet Carolina -150 in the series. I think they've gotten steamed to like -200. I might even hold off on that now. Maybe Washington wins game one. If that happens, you have my side approval to slam Carolina, because I don't see them losing the series.
All right. We'd be remiss not to mention a Major League Baseball. And it's funny because ESPN's got a brand new article up about predicting the next Major League Baseball mega deals. Who's going to be the next $100 million, $300 million, or $600 million man in Major League Baseball? Anything you guys want to add? Obviously, it's underway. It's fantastic. I love this time of the season because not a lot of people are talking about Major League Baseball, but lots of value out there. Anyone got anything?
Can Kyanized Red Sox stop blowing every game with the bullpen?
I know, right?
The best record in the American League. No. Every single game the bullpen implodes is driving me crazy.
They have a horrendous bullpen. I mean, you look at it and just, you know, some these are not Tony Curry useless stats. I'm sure you can throw some in. But, I mean, 17 of the 30 teams in the MLB have 5-5 or worse records their last 10 games. We went over some of that even last Friday. Your best home teams by record, the Mets, the Dodgers, and Detroit, 15-3, 13-3, and 13-3. Your worst road team, go figure, St. Louis, 4-13, the White Sox, 3-14, Colorado, 2-17. You know, something to think about when you're on that. And Colorado does not score on the road. Take their team total under. If you ever get four or anything higher than that and they're on the road, take it under.
They're 6-28 right now.
Good advice.
But that league, that West, is just absolutely stout right now. San Diego's won 6 games in a row. The Dodgers are always going to be good. Of course, San Francisco is pulling up the rear of the 3 teams at 22-14. That is a great, 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 great division right there. All right. We're going to go to our fantastic site, K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com. Make sure you check our site because it changes every single day. Kai's going to be texting here in a few minutes. Plays, guys, and we'll go ahead and throw some stuff up. And you can check out our website. It's absolutely free. Of course, there's some articles on there. Great Kentucky Derby article written up there from Kip from last week. Make sure you check that out. And of course, we'll continue to do the show. K4Wins.com. Check out all of our plays and become a winner, winner, chicken dinner. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Yep. Always fun.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.